Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Is he suspended for the Ohio State game?
You goddamn bet here. Yes. Yes,
yeah,
sir, he is.
We'll see about that. Look, I remember listening to you with the Cam Newton scandal going on about his father taking $120,000 from which school, Ole Miss or one of those schools, and he's up. Looks like it's over here.
I read too many Alabama blogs that said the walls are closing in. And I bought into it, but this is different, Andy.
No.
This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Monday, November 6th, 2023. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Let's get right to it. There's no crying in football, except when there is. Depends on how you feel about it. Caleb Williams, presumed to be the number one pick in the upcoming NFL draft. In fact, I still think he will be and should be, drew a lot of internet hot takes after his USC Trojans, who have fired defensive coordinator Alex Grinch. You're a fired one, Mr. Grinch. Your defense really sucks. You can't stop a screen pass, and you're terrible against the run, Mr. Grinch. You know, that wasn't terrible. I just thought that up on the spot there. Caleb Williams, after a back and forth, last team to hold the ball, pretty much wins the game, lost to Washington. That is essentially ended their aspirations for a Pac-12 championship in the final year of the Pac-12, B, a spot in the national championship, and C, a Heisman Trophy, because I think there's just too much headwinds despite him being pretty good statistically again, more than pretty good, outstanding, to give it to him a second time. He was overcome with the emotion of the moment and after the game went over to his parents in the stands, hopped up into the first row, and then curled into his mama's arms and began to cry. And if you have not seen the video, yeah, it's a lot of crying. It's body heave crying. She covered his helmet. His helmet was still on, so you really couldn't see his eyes too well, but covered his helmet with what looked like a program or some piece of paper and was hugging him. Dad was standing there next to the two of them, just sort of patting him on the back, and it was full body. And of course, there was divergent opinions about whether this was a great thing to see this kind of passion for somebody who wants to win so badly, or if it was a sign that he is hopelessly soft and immature. I think he is certainly immature, but then again, every kid at that age is immature. There's only one recipe for becoming mature, and that's time. Time and life experience. So I don't fault him for being immature. I do think he's insecure, which is a different flavor in the same suite as immature. I first was crestfallen after I saw the painted fingernails following the Utah game last year that they lost in the Pac-12 championship game that said, fuck Utah on the fingernails. And you could only see them with a very high resolution photograph and a long zoom lens, which I'm sure he knew. Oh, I know there's going to be photons that'll get my nails. And then you're going to see this little Easter egg here on my fingernails. Fuck Utah. And I was just like, oh, man. Dude, it's not enough that you are who you are, that you are this incredible sporting talent, charismatic, soon to be rich beyond your wildest dreams, young and healthy and vibrant with the world in your palm? This is what motivates you? To put stuff, words on your finger? Come on, man. Then, after Max Duggan cried his eyes out at the podium following their conference championship loss to K-State in overtime, might have even been double overtime or triple, something like that. Caleb Williams' Twitter account tweeted out, LOL. Like, crying. LOL. He quickly deleted it and then explained, saying, oh, no, it wasn't to do with, you know, I love my man Max D. Good for him. It wasn't about that. He didn't explain what it was about, but he did backtrack pretty quickly. Immaturity. Insecurity more than anything else. As far as this crying goes, I will never call him soft. You know why? I'm soft. I'm a Pop-Tart eating jabroni on the couch with a podcast. He is a apex predator athlete in a sport that is more rough and more violent than we'll ever know. He ain't soft to me. But here's the problem. He's about to enter a world, the NFL, with paid behemoths and even bigger apex predators who will look at him a certain way. And they may not go for it. They may not go for it. I learned a lot about just the kind of psychotic male one-upsmanship of the NFL working with Chris Cooley and doing a radio show from inside Redskins Park itself and just getting to meet some of the players along the way and hearing some of the things Cooley would explain and things that happened in the locker room and being confronted. Cooley was once confronted angrily by Brian Arakpo, defensive end, who was about to become a free agent because Cooley was doing these film breakdowns every week about the games, and he was pointing out the good and the bad. And because he was a former player and a former Redskin, and because the things he was pointing out that weren't great with Arakpo had to be kind of on point, because really, we only get mad, don't we, as anyone, when somebody brings up something negative about us that we know not to be true. But Cooley was like, yeah, he wanted to fight me, literally leaving the parking lot. And I just had to kind of say, you know, I just got to go home. I didn't want to escalate it. I go, wow, really? It's an alpha world, big time. So does Caleb Williams' full body heave crying make him somebody who other players, once he goes to Sunday football, are going to look at like, man, what's wrong with your ass? Grow up. A lot of it's the generation, sadly. When I grew up, we didn't have the internet. Thank God for that. Nobody had cameras. Having a camera, much less a video recording camera, a camcorder, it was almost, you might as well get a tray of phosphorus and a black velvet cape to duck under to take a picture. Nobody had cameras. That's why I got very few good photos of me when I was a teenager with a head full of hair and eyes full of dreams. Sad there's no analog assets from back in the day, but it was also beautiful. The generation that then had the internet growing up from the first they could remember, 4 or 5 years old, well, they were worse off for it because the internet started to do things that were not good for their emotional development. And the next generation that had both the internet and social media and smartphones with cameras on them, I mean, we may be doomed at this point. In fact, I kind of think we are doomed. And Caleb Williams, despite his alpha status, is still a product of that generation. Afterwards, he also said he just wanted to cuddle with dogs and watch some shows after the loss. And I did watch the soundbite to see if he was kidding or laughed about it. And I think it'll be made into too big of a deal because it'll be taken out of context. People will not see the actual clip that was mentioned. Look, who doesn't want to cuddle with dogs and watch some shows? That's how he processes it. Will Compton had a funny tweet making fun of those who would say, "Oh man, pussy, you want to go cuddle with the dogs and watch shows?" Will Compton says, "Every time we lost, I would go straight into the weight room and do Russian volume training until I got rhabdo." That's short for rhabdomyolysis, where you work out so hard that your muscles start producing toxins and it can kill you. Rhabdo. Anyway, I would still take him 1-1, 100%, without flinching. He's still this year at 70%. Completions almost, 28 over 4. I know, doesn't have a big win. They've beaten all the cupcakes, escaped a few of the cupcakes by miraculous fashion, and they've lost all the big games, but they don't have a defense. And I do believe the NFL will mature and will focus Caleb Williams to a certain extent, as well as his teammates, as well as the pro locker room. And if it doesn't, well, shit, you tried. Nobody, and I guarantee you this, I'll bet any amount of money, nobody will have the balls to pass on him at 1-1. Wherever that pick lands, whoever has it, the Bears, of course, have a good chance of having 1 and 2, nobody's passing on him 1-1. There are no bigger locks in the world right now. 4 months from now, 5 months from now, let's see. Draft is in April. 1, 2, 3. It's too hard math. I can't think about it. Caleb Williams is still going 1/1. Quick break for some crass commercial messages that you are free to skip through, but if you want to listen, I do appeal to you to listen to them. It might involve products or services that could make your life better. And then when we come back, Andy Pollin on a Monday. You're listening to the Zabecast. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Time now to bring in my older brother from another mother, Uncle Andy, Mr. Old School himself. Good enough, Andy. You know, Andy, I just stupidly, before you came on, asked the rhetorical question, at what point will football fans just get tired of all the ticky-tack, roughing the passer, penalty this, penalty that, bullshit, and just tune away? And then the Eagles and the Cowboys just finished, and I was reminded of the great line from Gladiator, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?"
Yes, indeed. I guess the answer is not anytime soon, right? We're still a long ways off from football fans going, "That's it, I've had it with this league, I'm out."
No, I mean, look, we are addicted to the television product. We just finished the World Series, the lowest rated World Series of all time. Average viewership, 9.1 million per game. Do you know what the rating was for the women's NCAA championship game?
A 9.9 between Caitlin Clark and the You Can't See Me versus LSU's Angel Reese and her pointing to her finger saying, "This is where the ring goes."
Yeah, so that baseball dead on TV, basketball, well, whatever. But the NFL rules the television set. They can't ruin it. They've tried, but they can't do it. Yeah. They cannot do it.
And what an incredible finish right there as the Eagles once again show to the Cowboys, right now, you're good. You're just not as good as we are. Continue to be the NFC favorites to go back to the Super Bowl.
Yes, but I mean, the Eagles did everything possible to self-destruct at the end of that game.
Right.
And Dak Prescott takes a sack, which is just unbelievable.
I know.
And the Eagles, you know, survive by the stupidity of the Cowboys. It's amazing.
Which is the eternal frustration of Dak for Cowboy fans far and wide that, you know, the biggest quarterbacks in the game seem to never do that. Like, I don't recall Peyton Manning taking a big damaging sack late. He would know when to get rid of it. Same thing for Brady. Dak just doesn't quite have it. And yet, since he became QB1, the Cowboys are the highest scoring league team in the league. Since he became QB1, the Cowboys have the highest points per game in the league. That ought to count for something, right?
Well, it accounts for them having decent records, but it doesn't account for them winning any championships. I mean, just in that situation, I'm thinking about Roger Staubach. And, you know, it's just like lick his chops, get it done. And Dak found a way not to be Staubach. It was incredible.
Yeah, it really was. All right, we got a lot to get to, so let's start cracking on this. Let's start in college. And Connor Stallions has been thrown under the bus. Will it be enough, however? I see an even bigger bus coming for Harbaugh, and it could come by as soon as Tuesday. Your thoughts on where we stand on the Michigan sign-stealing scandal?
No chance. No, they're going to slow walk this through the end of the season, And Michigan, whether they get in the playoff or not, is not going to be affected by this. Whatever happens will happen in the offseason when probably Harbaugh is gone. Look, this new commissioner, Petitti, I believe is his name.
Petitti, Patati, you say, yeah. Ahadi, Adi, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so he's a former TV executive. Okay, and right now Fox pretty much owns the Big Ten, right?
Right.
So you're going to call up Fox and you're going to say, we're going to eliminate one of the two teams that right now has a chance to be in the playoff and would make each team like $2 million, each team in the league $2 million if it gets to the playoffs. Ain't happening. Just is not going to happen. This is, yeah, they may get nailed, but it's not going to happen until after the season. But okay. Michigan's in the clear.
I would love to have a friendly wager with you on this. Maybe a lunch wager. Since you're not a big dollar wagering guy,
yeah.
Don't you see the bigger bus coming?
No.
Okay.
From who? Who's driving it?
Let me tell you why and how. First of all, there are reports out there, including credible reports, like who is the guy that's really good on College Game Day, the reporter? Andy Staples? It's not Andy Staples. It's I'm trying to remember who his name is on the fly, but he does stuff on College Game Day. Covers the NFL, covers the NCAA, really, really good, really plugged in, okay?
Right.
And he said a suspension for Harbaugh is quite possible within the week. And here's why it makes perfect sense. Again, we're going back to the bus and the wheels. Stallions was going to take the fall for Harbaugh, right?
Sure. Yep.
Harbaugh is going to take the fall for keeping Michigan alive in the race for the championship and keeping the possible money from their Final Four appearance from being flushed down the drain. That's the bigger bus right there. I think you're underestimating one thing. It's at the point now where there's enough smoke. They cannot do nothing. Doing nothing ceased to be an option this week as Big Ten coaches and other school presidents said, what the fuck? What are we doing here? This is an egregious violation of the very essence of fair play, and the fact they were so brazen about it and open about it shows you that they put a middle finger up to us. We cannot let this stand. That's what the rest of the league has said. So if we're at the point, like I believe, that doing nothing is no longer an option, the next best thing is to throw Harbaugh under a bigger bus. You don't punish the student athletes. You don't ban them from being in the playoffs, and you can then say, well, we did something. We suspended Harbaugh because the evidence is too overwhelming.
Is he suspended for the Ohio State game?
You goddamn bet here. Yes, yeah, yes, sir, he is.
We'll see about that. Look, I remember listening to you with the Cam Newton scandal going on about his father taking $120,000 from which school, Ole Miss or one of those schools, and he's up. Looks like it's over here.
I read too many Alabama blogs that said the walls are closing in. And I bought into it, but this is different, Andy.
No. It's going to be under investigation.
Okay.
It's, you know, just same thing like the Mary Jo White investigation with Dan Snyder. Slowly walking along, and then they get to the end of the line. Oh, yeah, $60 million fine for Snyder. We're done. Oh, yeah, Jim Harbaugh suspended because he cheated.
End the season. When I'm right, do you want to do a lunch bet or no?
Well, you owe me about four lunches, so yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, look at this, people. I got to work my way out of lunch purgatory from Andy. What accounting do you have on I owe you four lunches?
Well, I think I've been invited to come to several that have never really gotten off the ground. But
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I owe you in that I've invited you to come to the Palm for a podcast lunch and then canceled on you.
Yeah, well, I've been to one of them, so it's okay. But yeah,
All right, you know what? I don't need a lunch. I need a good 1 minute apology from you and you to say, you know what? I didn't see it. You saw it. Kudos to you, young Jedi. You were really looking at the playing field and understood where we were. Just give me that.
I've given you that those props before. Okay. Like on Deion, you said Deion Sanders was over the hill and things like that. So
when he was a Redskin, back in the day. Okay, all right, fair enough.
We go back a long way.
I know.
History here.
Okay, fair enough. We shall see. I did try to Google this before we went on the air tonight. I tried to Google, so did Central Michigan say it was or was not Connor Stallions on their sidelines? And absolute crickets, Andy. No word whatsoever, which should have been the easiest thing to go, oh, no, that's not Connor, that's some other guy. So the fact that they haven't even said who was that one guy that looked like him tells you there's a lot of nefarious stuff going on.
Right, and just wait, and if there is some kind of movement on this, there'll be injunctions, there'll be lawsuits. They're going to slow walk this thing to the end of time, and there'll be something that'll happen in late January.
Well, if that's the case, and if Michigan goes to the college football playoff, then it will be a stain on the entire thing. The story of Michigan being a possible cheater still playing in the Final Four is going to take over all other storylines, and that won't be good for the other schools and for the college football playoff. They don't want it. They won't have it. If Harbaugh is suspended and they still make it, which is possible, because, I mean, game day operations, you know, how important are those exactly in the big scheme of things? Then they can say, look, we did all we could given the constraints, and there may be more to come.
Louisville won the college basketball national championship, 10 years ago? And it was vacated because of whatever. Does anybody care?
Well, they will vacate them, but I don't think they like doing it.
No, sure, they don't like doing it, but nobody's going to care. And are they going to have to give back the money for winning? I don't think so.
Is Harbaugh's career over, essentially?
No, he'll go to the pros. Somebody will take him.
And the NFL will hire him?
Of course.
Okay. I think he's dead man coaching. I think his career is literally going to end on this. But again, maybe I'm reading too many blogs, listening to too much ESPN. Who knows? Okay. Cut to daylight savings time. We gained an hour on Sunday morning. I had the arduous task of changing, count them, 1, 2, 3 clocks. Microwave, oven, and a wall clock. It was not complicated. I did not forget. I actually enjoyed sleeping in for another hour. I understand also the argument for changing the clocks twice a year. What saith you, Andy, on this national root canal that will not go away because some people still, for reasons that elude me, hate it?
Yeah, I remember when I was in high school, they didn't do it. And everybody was complaining because everybody went to school in the dark, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't bother me. And I get up so damn early that for me, extra light in the morning is just fine. So I'm okay. And I also only have 3 or 4 clocks in my house that I have to change. So it's okay.
So you're agnostic on it.
Yeah, not a big deal.
It's so funny how angry some people get about
it. I know.
And I say that
in rhythms and I can vault. It's like, shut up already. Just it's 7 o'clock. It's not 8 o'clock. Move on.
I have to go back to the same point, which is the amount of daylight doesn't change.
Right.
It's the same either way. You get that, don't you? Well, yeah, but I still bet that, you know, like the point of daylight savings is in the summer, you want it to be light as deep into the evening as possible to allow for recreation, a picnic, a gathering, playing golf, going boating. So therefore, it going dark at 9 p.m. better than 8 p.m. And if you didn't change it off of, you know, this current standard time, the sun would come up on June 21st at many places in the country at 4:30 a.m. There are a few people go, I'd love 4:30. I'm up that time anyway. I'm going to play golf, get the early tea line. Fuck off. Nope. The 90% of the country does not want to be awake at 4:30. I can guarantee you that. So you're wasting an hour of daylight. And then as far as the winter argument goes, look, it won't be light until 8:30 if you don't change the clocks. And while most kids are not standing at a dark bus stop in the middle of the winter freezing in the pitch black, which was an argument for, we don't want the kids to be out in the dark, it's also another hour of light that, you know, you don't want it to be pitch black when you're commuting. There are more accidents in the morning when people are commuting if it's completely dark, just for the record.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's okay. It's right. Fine with me. I don't get exercised about this.
Cut three. I get exercised about the people that do get exercised, which maybe makes me just one of the same people getting exercised, only I'm pro big clock change. Oh, you're just a tool for big clock change, mister. What do you have, clock stocks? Okay. Cut three. NFL in Germany. The Chiefs beat the Dolphins in a game in Germany on Sunday morning. It is part of two games in Germany this year as part of five games overseas. It used to be we'd only pawn off one low-level sort of garbage game, a discount bin game.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Well, it used to be every year. They still play two games over there every year now. But I really resent the NFL giving away this prime cut of meat to the Germans. No offense, but ooh, the German. They didn't deserve this fucking game. Am I wrong? Change my mind. We should not be exporting our best NFL games to a place in which they don't know the difference. This is pearls before swine, Andy.
Right. I heard a lengthy explanation from Peter King about this. It had to do with the number of division games and conference games that Kansas City had, and it all boiled down to this, and I guess they didn't expect the Dolphins to be as good as they were this year, and this, that, and the other. So there it is. 9:30 in the morning.
Not only was it opposite church for many who are faithful or other Sunday morning activities, but it was on a tier B cable network, the NFL network. And it deprived two fan bases, rabid fan bases, of seeing, this matchup of Tyreek against his former team. Fuck the NFL and all their explanations. Stop giving away these great cuts of meat to people who don't appreciate them.
Well, they're tapping into more markets. The money train. The reason that this dope keeps getting paid $70 million a year is he keeps squeezing more dollars out. And this is part of the way he does it.
Yeah, I say give them something. Give them something of a less quality meat. They won't know the difference. Cut number four, Raiders dysfunction. Wow. Raiders today crushed the Giants. I didn't see the final score, but I saw they were up 21-0 at one point.
27-6, I think, when I checked that. Daniel Jones, by the way, torn ACL, they believe.
So. No!
Yeah.
The third one this year of QB1s. Wow. Yeah. Or no, ACL's a knee. I'm sorry. I was thinking Achilles. My bad. Okay. Yeah. All right. So the dysfunction with the Raiders right now, and their dipstick owner, and the fact that Josh, this is when I knew things were in trouble. They had a clear the air meeting with McDaniels and all the players and all the coaches. Full stop. Never a good idea, is it, Andy? We've been in a few of those, haven't we, in radio over the years?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Is there ever a net of kumbaya that's great? Let's all go do our work now and get along better? No. It only sows further chaos. And apparently, it did so this time. Report said that Antonio Pierce, when it was his turn to speak, said, look, when I played, we always took the field expecting to win, no matter if it was the great Patriots teams back in the day that were undefeated. And that's the attitude we need as a team. After the meeting, Josh McDaniels on that staff didn't like it and pulls aside Pierce and says, don't ever talk about the Patriots that way. And that's when the whole thing was like, this is unsalvageable at this point.
Right. Yeah. Also apparently Mark Davis was in on this as well. I mean, it was, I watched the Patriots today, just play awful with an awful quarterback against a bad Washington team, which Washington won. And I'm beginning to believe that Tom Brady, who is regarded as the greatest ever, is vastly underrated.
Underrated. Yes.
Because this Belichick and his band of fools who all try to get head coaching jobs, they all stink at it, and he stinks without Brady. It's unbelievable. And McDaniels is not only a two-time loser as a head coach, he's a two-time disaster as a head coach. And I the more I watch and the more, I mean, we used to go, this is a big sports radio debate, Brady or Belichick. Well, you really can't separate the two. They both. No, Brady. It's unbelievable how much Brady.
Yeah. Not just that, but other than Randy Moss for three seasons, Brady did not have a single other Hall of Fame wide receiver and still won as much as he did. He was winning with shrimpy white guys and converted lacrosse bros as wide receivers and receivers who were playing both ways at times. Troy Brown. It's incredible to think about. Yeah. So the Raiders are now paying two coaches to not coach. They are going to be, they're paying Jimmy Garoppolo to not play quarterback. And apparently one of the advisors to Mark Davis is Jim effing Gray. He of the LeBron decision, the American sports television weasel of all weasels, even though he may be a mensch and a nice guy, Andy, he just has a way of weaseling himself into discussions.
He's oily. And oily. If he's a reporter, he should not be advising Mark Davis. Another thing about Antonio Pierce, I'd forgotten this. Do you remember who was with Plaxico Burress when he shot himself in the nightclub?
Was it him?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, man, he's learned from it. He's grown from it. You know, he's ready to lead this team. Yeah. Well, they for 1 week against a shit Giants team. I actually cannot wait to hear Funhouse post on his Twitter account clips of Mike Francesa, who's doing a podcast now, because we're all destined to be podcasters when it's all said and done, you know? The lowest bin of ex-sports talk radio hosts podcasting like we are now. I can't wait to hear what Francesa says. He is going to eviscerate the Giants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they look bad today. And it's amazing how much they've disintegrated from 1 year to the next. And Brian Daboll, by the way, is following a familiar Belichick script. That you do pretty well the first year, and the second year you fall flat on your face, and they have.
All right. Speaking of obliterating guys, Dabo Swinney got a big win against Notre Dame on Saturday and afterwards said, listen, if Clemson was a stock, you better buy all the shares you can right now. It was classic Dabo. I'm Dabo positive. I like him. I think he's done an amazing job. Other people not so gung-ho about him, but this kid, Tyler in Spartanburg, called Dabo on his radio show and went instantly viral when he finally pushed the charge the mound button on Dabo's ego. Here's the soundbite that says it all.
I wanted to play football in Alabama. I earned a scholarship, letter 3 years, worked my ass off, won a national championship. I wanted to get into coaching. I worked my way to being a head coach. And when I got this job, and I'm sure you didn't want me to get this job, all right? And 15 years later, I'm still here. And I'd say the results are what they are, and I stand on them. So you don't ever have to call back.
I
want to get married.
Hold on.
I've been married for going on 30 years. I wanted to be a father. I've raised three great sons. If you don't like how I run the program, don't be a fan. I don't care. But I'm the head coach, and I'm going to do what I believe is right for the long term of this program, what's best for the players, and what I think is best for the moment. If you got a problem with that, that's fine. But you're not, I'm not going to see you sit here and let you call. I don't give a crap how much money I make. You ain't going to talk to me like I'm 12 years old.
He went through all the stats as well, and, you know, two championships. They've had a run of 10-win seasons. That's like the third longest in college football history. It's an impressive resume. Is it a good look, though, for Dabo Swinney at $11 million a year to go nuclear on a poor kid, Tyler in Spartanburg, who dared to say, how come we're paying you so much money?
Well, I would have gone the Patrick Waugh route where you say, I can't hear you. I've got too many championship rings in my ears.
So you would have taken the high road on that.
Because he comes off as being, you know, small and petty. And he's the same Dabo Swinney who said, oh, once they start paying the players, I'm out of here. Well, he's taking
$10 million.
Yeah.
But
he's taking $10 million a year in a 10-year deal, I think, right? Is it a 10-year deal? He's the second year?
Yeah.
I think so.
But that said, he's not really playing in the portal like other programs are.
Oh, well, that's his fault because
everybody else is choosing not to.
But that's how you play today. That's the rules. The new rules say you want somebody, you go out and you get them.
Yeah, but a lot of the portal programs, they're going to quickly find out it's not all. You can't buy a team. USC's finding that out.
Yeah.
Deion is going to find that out. You go ahead and you buy a bunch of guys, you're gonna realize there's a reason why they were willing to leave. A lot of them are easy quitters, and football's such a tough sport, you don't want easy quitters, much less you don't want to embolden easy quitters with money and cars and clothing deals.
But USC also probably should have picked up a few defensive players in the portal.
Not
enough of them because they stink.
Well, they got a guy,
a defensive coordinator named Grinch.
I know. They got a guy from Georgia that was supposed to be hot shit, and he didn't really move the needle much. And and they had to fire the coordinator. But anyway, I thought it was it was pretty funny though. I'm more on Dabo's side. You want to come at the Bear? You may get mauled. So maybe Tyler and Spartanburg. Of course, Tyler's probably walking around like, see what I did? I finally lit a fire under the program. They got a big win against Notre Dame.
And they stormed the field, too, which I thought was a little odd for a team that had lost two games. But it is Notre Dame.
The lowering of the bar and storming the field is certainly one that's well chronicled. Okay. Your Commanders win. Any quick thoughts? And, of course, the two trades that happened the day after you and I talked on Monday or on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, let me start with the latest first. I mean, they won a game turning the ball over, really one really awful turnover by Sam Howell right at the end of the half where he threw a ridiculous interception. But he's coming along as a quarterback. I'm not saying he's going to be great, but he's pretty good. And he seems to get better by the week and moving around in the pocket. He did take three sacks. He sometimes takes five. But I think he's coming in the right direction. Now, it's unbelievable how bad the Patriots are. And Mac Jones, he's going to be a clipboard guy for the next 5 years somewhere else. He's done. He stinks. And Bill Belichick's roster, it stinks. It's unbelievable. I can't believe the Patriots, I've watched them for years. They don't look like the Patriots anymore. It's really sad. It's like a great house that was abandoned and it's starting to fall apart. The roof is leaking.
Right.
And the plumbing shot. I mean, it's incredible. So they beat a bad team. Mazel tov. They still got to play Dallas twice. They got the 49ers. They got to go to Seattle next week. So let's not get too worked up. As far as the trades go, Montez Sweat, you saw the kind of money he got from Chicago. Wasn't going to happen.
Bears are morons. They're not going anywhere this year. He was due to be a free agent anyway in the winter, right?
Yeah.
And they could have bought him and kept their second rounder and may not have paid as much money even, although it's tough to say. Instead, they're leveraged because they don't want to lose him because they already put a second round pick down for him. They're clowns in Chicago. They're not doing it right at all.
They could have franchised him, but they gave him ridiculous money. And then as far as Chase Young goes, I sense for the last 3 years that this has been brewing, that they got real excited at the beginning, but after his rookie year, when he spent the off season, not at the off season workouts, but making commercials and, anytime the coach says, we're keeping in touch with him every day, he's working out. Yeah. He's like at the Hyatt in the gym with schlubs like me, for an hour or so. He's not working out like other NFL players. And, he's had a couple of flashes. He had a knee injury that some guys come back from that following season. He missed all but three games. I think he's a guy, one of those guys that plays football because he can, not because he loves it. He's got great physical skill, but a college game is different than the pro game, and I don't think he loves it enough to be great.
Yeah, I had heard that he was not a great guy and was partying way too much and really just not the guy that I thought he was. He, like RG3, Andy, snowed me with his podium game.
Oh, yeah.
Chase Young's podium game, the way he could speak what seemed to be solid, mature leadership, fooled the shit out of me, which tells me I should stop making these judgments because we don't know who these guys really are anyway.
And it goes to the perfect team where the star culture was celebrated under Dan Snyder. Remember, Snyder was still the owner of the team when he was drafted, and he bought in hook, line, and sinker. And, I think he's going to be around the league for a while, but he's not going to be a superstar.
All right. Last ad, Bobby Knight passed away at 84 years old, 84, 83.
83
yeah. years old. You and I had the distinct pleasure of meeting him. I found it a pleasure. I found it exciting. Anytime you can meet a legend, he sat down, did radio with us out there in Vegas, and then he promptly bullied me by saying, can you get him to stop talking? Maybe he can sit on the microphone. Andy, your thoughts on both that incident, as you recall it, and also the overall arching story of Bobby Knight as a character unlike any other in sports history.
Yeah, I mean, he was... you can say as many good things about him as bad things, it appears. And you cannot describe him on either side. I don't think you could really make a strong case that he was a good guy, and you couldn't make a fully strong case that he was a bad guy. He was, you know, kind of on both sides of it. But the incident you're talking about was 2010, and Billy Packer and Knight were promoting something that was like on the edges of gambling. Sports betting wasn't legal then.
Right. Back when the speakeasies still existed in sports when it came to gambling. Both had recently retired. Was Knight done at Texas Tech at that point? He was.
Yes,
okay.
He retired in 2008. Okay. So, and in middle of the season, so his son could get the job. And so they sit down, and I think Packer was there first. And Knight shows up kind of late. And, you know, you don't really get a sense on TV how big he is. He was like 6'5".
Oh, yeah.
And he just had this, like, scent about him because of all the things that he'd done that at any point, you know, he could have gone, you know, as they say, you know, the tiger went crazy. No, the tiger went
tiger. Tiger, right.
So and at one point he says to me, does he ever listen about you? And I wanted to
you
say,
said not
oh,
really
coach, you don't know the half of it, you know. But
I have that, like, I have the clip somewhere in my archives. I'm going to find it. I just have not had that chance. As I recall, he had a nephew that was playing for another program in the tournament. Okay. And he said, as they were picking games, because that was the whole hook, he and Billy were out there to add perspective to people at Legassi's Sportsbook on picking games, doing little live shows, in-person shows. And so he said, I've got a vested interest in that game. When I then asked my question, I said, well, coach, you said you would recuse yourself from this game because you've got a... And before I even finished my sentence, he said, I didn't say that. He just said, I'm interested in. Not that he would recuse himself. So he actually was correct in busting me that I put words into his mouth that he never actually said.
Yeah.
And he only just sort of, like the bear that kind of cuffs around the circus trainer, but doesn't maul him to death. I just got knocked off of my pedestal and had to run out of the ring.
Right, right. But it's just terrifying. Because
oh, God, yeah.
You know he's capable of doing.
Well, rest in peace, Bobby Knight. There will never be another. And, you know, did your son go to Indiana because of Knight?
No, but he, you know, he said actually before the games, they would show like a little video montage of some of the good days, and included in the montage was Knight throwing the chair.
Right.
You know, it didn't seem like something you would celebrate,
no.
But it was just part of the whole legacy there.
Yeah. All right, Andy, we got a hell of a game tonight to go after the game that just finished. Bills and Bengals. Let's go enjoy it, my friend. We'll talk next Sunday, all right?
All right, Zach. Take care.
All right, thank you. There you go. Listener feedback when we return. Quick break, one last quick break. You're listening to the Zabecast. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Let's get to the feedback. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. This one from Chris in Portland. Zabe, I respectfully disagree with Thursday's email advice requesting a full NFL recap on Monday's pod. I hesitated emailing, but this one iced the deal. You know, by Monday, we've all seen the Red Zone's recap, Sunday Night Football pregame show, SportsCenter. We don't need you to do every game. Rather, we just need your unique perspective on the biggest stories to extract the nuances, the oddities, and the just plain funny and stupid stuff from select games. That's all we need. Keep it simple. Work smarter, not harder. Great job. Chris in Portland. P.S. Can I also address you via the 33099ZABE text line? Does that still work? Funny, you should ask. I did log on to Google Voice, and I still can control and access and see text messages sent to that phone number, 33099ZABE. I have no idea when this program or this whole wrinkle in time is going to sunset, but it's been 15 years or more where Google once, I don't know, grabbed a bunch of phone numbers. I don't know how they had the jurisdiction to do that. And they said, here, you want a phone number that you can use as a front to then launder your incoming calls through? Grab one. They're free. We're Google. So we did. I still have it. And no, I don't live anywhere near Cleveland, which is the 330 area code, but it was the only area code that allowed for a simple two-number, then ZABE, Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. It's a banging number. I really should use it more. Or I should check it more. 33099ZABE. And I'll make sure to try to check it and do what I can to secure it. For those who know more about that program, let me know. Connor in Toledo says, Dear ZABE, the problem with your idea that you floated on Friday of capping each player's games in the NFL at 16, despite an 18-game schedule, is that the optimal strategy then for teams would be to avoid resting your most important players until the end of the season. You wouldn't want to voluntarily rest your quarterback early when they may get hurt later in the year, and you have to sit them anyway. That will lead to the final 2 weeks of the season having teams pushing for the playoffs with their backup QBs. No way the NFL goes for that. If safety is really a big concern, go back to 16 games. There is nothing wrong with 16. Oh, I know. I loved 16. I hate this 17-game format with the burning passion of a thousand suns. It'll never happen, though. I know that. Love the show. Sincerely, Connor in Toledo. I gently disagree with your disagreement. And that there would be no set strategy per se, that a guy like Joe Burrow would have likely eaten a game or two to get them out of the way early, excuse my voice, it's Sunday, that he would eat a game or two early as he's recovering and rehabbing from that calf injury so he could be fully available for any and all games needed down the stretch. And for quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers or Daniel Jones now, who get hurt or Kirk Cousins and they don't play the whole season, well, then problem solved. You can then point to the union to go, well, look, nobody's playing more than 16 games. 30% of the league is getting hurt and they're missing at least two games or whatever the number is of starters or bench players or whoever. I'm sure there's data on that. What percentage of NFL rosters are injured enough to miss two games? You could tell the union, well, nobody's playing more than 16. And if they're healthy the whole year, they're going to have to sit too. There'd be great strategy in it. Which games do they sit and why? Do you wait until you maybe have clinched something to bench Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or someone like that? Or do you look for different spots where you're playing a bad team? Do you think we could beat the Giants with just about anybody? And then have the other team get all up in arms, like, I can't believe they're benching their quarterback for one of his two mandatory games off. What, do you think we're chumps? Yes, we do think you're chumps, and you're about to get beat like a dirty rug. Bad beats, I asked the question. We've got bad beats. We know what those are. What's the opposite of a lucky cover? Mike Ament says, in poker, we call it a suck out, as in you sucked out catching that gut shot straight on the river. It's the opposite of a bad beat. Okay, poker term. I've never heard of it. I don't play poker. It got me to thinking, here's the one I'll put forward and see if this has any traction with you. I'd love to call them governor's pardons. You got bad beats and governor's pardons. I had a real governor's pardon the other day. You had the Cowboys catching 5.5. They end up getting a safety late, and they cover by 0.5 because they didn't need, like, that would be it. I don't know. Workshop your own and get back to me. John Bryan says, Abe, I didn't get to everything from your morning show on Friday, but I saw you were going to rip Al Michaels. I'm watching the Steelers game replay. The Steelers punt, and Al is saying the punt was crap. It went to their 8 fucking yard line. How much better does Al want it to be? Sincerely, John Bryan. Look, I've given up on Al Michaels. I've given up on telling people he's terrible in every regard. So I don't really hammer it as much anymore. But yes, I concur. Still bad, getting worse all the time. John in Monroe. Let me skip that one. Put that aside. That's going to be a tomorrow one, John. Hold that thought here. This one, I'll end on this. Scott Cook, a.k.a. Ammo Chief, because he was in the Army as a ammo engineer or sergeant, says, Zabe, thanks for the Bobby Knight internet Easter egg you suggested to us to Google about the golf tutorial outtakes. I'm 55 like you are, and up until just yesterday, I had no idea. No idea this gem existed. The best 9-plus minutes of my day watching it. Thanks, loyal 1%er from Kansas, Scott Cook, a.k.a. Ammo Chief. That is a wrap for today. I'm going to rest my voice just a touch. Packers got a win. We got to see touchdown. That was fun. They scored another touchdown late. They touched down twice, the Packers did, which is a, whoo boy, hot tamale game. Brett Rippon was terrible for the Rams, but what do you expect? I guess I had low expectations, and Brett Rippon, the nephew of the great Mark Griffin, Redskin icon and hero and Super Bowl champion and league MVP, he's not as good as his uncle. That's just, football's tough, man. What are you going to do? That's it for me. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday, everybody, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.